banking with Cuba for years has been a ping-pong affair, with transactions to and from the U.S. having to bounce off a third country. Well, not anymore. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There is word today that a bank in Florida called Stonegate has just set up a direct link with a bank in Havana, Banco Internacional de Comercia. It's called a correspondent relationship, and it means financial dealings between the U.S. and Cuba don't need to keep routing hither and yon.
In the Cuba world, this fits the definition as a big deal.
John Kavalik is president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council.
One of the issues the Cubans had was the triangular nature of the payments. Direct correspondent banking removes the triangle and creates a straight line. It will make it much easier for those existing companies to continue with their transactions. But more importantly, it puts pressure on Cuba to now look again at purchasing from the United States because, for example, Cuba will buy rice from Vietnam. That rice will travel 10,000 miles and could take a month to get there. They can get the rice through the port of New Orleans, which is less than 1,000 miles, and can take 24 hours. So it removes some impediments for the U.S. companies. It removes impediments for Cuba, and hopefully it'll create a greater dynamic.
I saw a quote of yours from a conference that you went to in March of this year that you were at the time surprised no one had set up one of these correspondent bank relationships. What do you think took so long?
In part, banks were scared. They needed Cuba to be removed from the sanctions list because that sanctions list is a sort of Damocles, and many U.S. banks and non-U.S. banks have been fined by the Treasury Department. So they were very, very hesitant. Cuba came off the sanctions list. The embassies reopened this week. And so banks started to look at more of a permanence to the relationship and also start to feel that while the Treasury Department is still going to be monitoring transactions globally, they're not going to be actively looking for problems, whether true or ones to be created. Stonegate is a relatively small bank, but they stepped up. They're in Florida, and it was a brilliant move on their part to become the bank for the Cuban embassy and now to have the first direct correspondent banking relationship because they're going to see some business from that.
John Kavalik is president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council. Mr. Kavalik, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
As we've been reporting, Apple's iPhone sales were way up, especially in China. Profits were way up, but the results did not meet even higher expectations among analysts. Apple's stock is down 6.6% in pre-market trading. It's still a company worth $750 billion, eclipsing Exxon, eclipsing really everybody. An advocacy group in Chicago is helping transgender people find businesses that go beyond just being friendly and really get their needs. Think of this online directory as a kind of transgender-oriented Yelp. It's in trial mode right now, but could potentially make a significant impact. By one estimate, there are about 700,000 transgender people in the U.S. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more from Chicago.
Ricky Hill identifies between the male and female genders.
I identify as a transmasculine genderqueer person.
Hill prefers the pronouns them and they instead of him or her, and is always on the lookout for doctors, hairstylists, gender-neutral bathrooms, anywhere Hill can feel accepted.
It is a constant explanation. I would love to have a day where my gender was not the topic of some sort of conversation.
This is why Riley Johnson launched Rad Remedy, a national online database of transgender services run out of Chicago.
We have the ability for folks to search for providers, medical, mental health stuff, acupuncture, yoga.
Johnson, a transgender man, says Rad Remedy's listings are vetted and reviewed and rated by users.
Our sort of hope is to provide as much information to people as possible for them to know what they're walking into.
Right now, healthcare services account for much of the database, and there's good reason for that.
Trans people have suffered so much from the way the healthcare system has treated them.
Defna Strumza, an OBGYN at the Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, has researched transgender healthcare. She says more than a quarter of transgender people report harassment in a medical setting. And it's particularly hard, she says, to find surgeons willing to work with patients who are transitioning.
The medical professions have not been taught and trained. The cultural sensitivity issues and the medical issues.
Hi, this is Sam calling from the Lurie Children's Hospital.
This outpatient clinic at Lurie Children's in Chicago focuses on transgender youth. It's included in RAD Remedies listings.
We've had patients come from as far as Kentucky, Michigan, Iowa, all the surrounding states of the Midwest.
Robert Garofalo, a specialist in pediatrics and adolescent medicine, runs the clinic. He says there are only a couple dozen clinics like his. And for them, he says, RAD Remedy can help spread the word. In Chicago, I'm Novosafo for Marketplace.
Question now, what's the only type of consumer loans to grow during the Great Recession? Answer, student loans. After the market closed yesterday, a big student loan processor, Navient, reported profits way down from a year ago. Navient was spun off from longtime student loan company Sallie Mae last year. Among challenges for Navient and that industry, there is renewed focus on people taking on too much student debt if the job market's not ready to pay them much. Also, some people went back to school during the recession and deferred the loans are now back in the workforce and having some trouble repaying. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.